right.
Rob Carr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSafety.com.
RadioSafety.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh yeah, baby, it is the Homemade Broadcast. It is episode 579, a very special episode. Why? Because I'll tell you in a second. I'm Will Koontz. This is Anna Hummel.
Hello, a Sunday Funday edition of the Homemade Broadcast.
Sunday Funday, baby. That's right. We're recording this on Sunday. This is the 27th of July because Anna's not available. I forget why, and I don't know if you're allowed to share why.
I mean, I'm allowed to share, but I just don't want to right
now. Okay.
I maybe will at one point.
I remember now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point, we'll all talk about it.
Yes.
Not now.
I see.
Got it?
We'll see how it goes first. Yeah, we'll see how it
goes first. There's I'm not getting breast augmentation, okay? So just get that out of your head.
I was going to say, there's potential that you may never see this face the same again. But I guess we'll tell you more about that another time. Yes, that's all right.
Yes, yes.
So yeah, we're recording on Sunday. I have been drinking most of the day. Mm-hmm. So this might be really bad or maybe really good or perhaps just average. Mm. I'm not really sure how it's going to go.
How many beers have you had?
I had 7 beers today.
Okay.
And what does that mean to you?
A hospital visit.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a little, I might as well keep it going. I'm going to have a little tequila.
Ooh.
I'm not drinking whiskey really right now. I don't have a taste for it.
Will thinks he's like, I don't know if you think you're on a diet or you're like, you're doing pretty good because you're like, I'm not drinking whiskey, but that's I am having good. Beer and tequila.
Well, listen, my drinking was not out of control, but getting there. Mm-hmm. And I've been really good during the weekdays. I haven't been drinking at all because mm-hmm. I realized, I think I talked about this already, but it's really easy to pour yourself a fourth of a bottle of whiskey. It's way easier than you think.
I believe you. I don't have a taste for whiskey or spirits by themselves. Like, I would just never do something like that. Now, will you take a shot of that, or will you drink that, like sip it?
This I was going to take a shot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes more sense. Now? I mean, if you want to.
All right.
I'm trying to pressure you. Seems like, okay. Great. Does that taste good?
No.
But we like being drunk.
Well, it's a weekend.
Yeah.
It is, you know, Monday's approaching. This is more of a Friday night, maybe even a Saturday night thing that you should do. Sunday, you know, we're pushing. But the good thing is on Sundays when you day drink, you tend to stop early because you just get too tired.
Right.
And then you just pass out early and then you wake up.
Yeah, and you're right on track. Now, when you said it's the weekend, when you just said that to me about 30 seconds ago, in your eyes, it was like you were seeking approval. Like,
no.
Your eyes and you're like, it's the weekend, right?
I mean, am I right? I tried to get you to join me on the bandwagon, but you had one margarita. That was it.
Yeah, yeah. I drink maybe 4 times a year now.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. And I'm not against it, by the way. Like, if the opportunity presents itself, but like, I was even telling you, I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my current home, which I've lived in for 2 years.
That is crazy.
I only drink outside of the home or like at the beach or a bar. You know, I'll never like be like, hey, Chris, let's have a glass of wine. Like that is never a conversation we've ever had.
I went through 2 bottles of wine on Friday.
Red or white?
Red.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's a headache.
I had my friends moved. So they brought over their pretty much their alcohol collection and they gave me a bunch of wine. And typically, historically, not a wine drinker, but I don't dislike it. And I do like a nice cab here and there. Mm-hmm. And that was mostly what they brought over was like some sort of red blend or Cabernet mm-hmm. or something. So I opened a bottle on, I didn't want whiskey. I wasn't in the mood for it, but kind of wanted to have something. Mm-hmm. Didn't really want beers either. So I said, oh, some wine. I think I'll have some wine. So I did. I opened a bottle and sat and watched Nathan for You on HBO Max and had my cat in my lap. And all of a sudden, before I know it, that whole bottle is gone, ceased to be.
Right.
And I was like feeling good, you know, and it was semi early. It was, you know, 10 o'clock around 10 on a Friday night. And I feel like I could keep going. Mm-hmm. But the thing with wine is it has a very limited shelf life once it's actually opened.
Right.
So I was thinking, you know, I don't know if I can go through a whole other bottle, but maybe I'll have a glass or two. You
shouldn't doubt yourself like that.
I shouldn't. But so I said, well, if it goes to waste, it goes to waste, whatever. I'm feeling good. It's Friday night. And I opened the other bottle of wine and I sat and watched more Nathan for You. Oh, I actually started watching John Adams on HBO Max. It's a very old series with Paul Giamatti as John Adams, the forefather.
I know who John Adams is.
You don't know who Paul Giamatti is? You know him if you saw him.
Is he the guy that was in Private Parts?
Yes, Pig okay. Vomit.
Yeah.
Yes, that guy. Good act, really good actor.
Yeah, I know him.
So he plays John Adams. So I started watching that. It's very boring, very 40-year-old move to watch that series. But anyway, so I started watching that. And then next thing I know, I'm through an episode of John Adams and the other bottle's gone. So two bottles in one night. Not
two bottles one night.
Proudest moment. But luckily I wasn't too... I did have quite a bit of a headache the next day.
I think that's mostly like the sugar, right?
Yeah.
Red wine does that to you.
Yeah. It's not ideal, certainly. But and then, you know, this weekend I did do a lot of boozing, now that I'm thinking about it. Because my buddy came over last night and we drank beers. I had some tequila. And then today you came over to swim.
Yeah.
We've been hanging out by the pool.
Great.
And I drank a bunch of beer.
Met a fan of yours at the pool.
Yeah. Tony Baloney, my neighbor friend.
Yeah. I felt like Tony was great, but I was trying to show that I actually know something about the region where he's from.
Yeah.
And then he was just like dismissing me left and right.
Yeah, I did notice
that. Hurting my feelings.
It made me laugh.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, well, do you speak Croatian? And he's like, do you speak Texan? And I'm like, they use different alphabets. Don't get mad at me for asking questions.
Tony was from Bosnia?
Bosnia and Herzegovina. Yeah.
Okay. What's the second word you said? Excovina?
No, it's Herzegovina.
That's a country?
Yeah. It used to be just like Bosnia, but now the country is called Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I swear to God on my life.
Okay. Did not know that.
Do you believe me?
I do.
Good.
I do believe you. Yeah. So we met that. We were talking about radio stuff that's going on in the ether, things of happenings that, you know, in the radio world. And he happened over here. And Tony Baloney comes swimming up with a very thick Bosnian accent and asks if we're in radio. And then he asked, what happened to Bubba the Love Sponge?
He goes, do you know Bubba the Love Sponge?
And we started to laugh.
And I was like, No, I was like, yeah, I actually worked for that guy. And he's like, really? Wow.
Wowie. Yeah, that's very cool.
Borat was in the pool.
He gave two thumbs up like that. Very nice. No, he was a cool guy, but yeah, he wanted to know where Bubba was.
Yeah. I wanted to know his real name. I'm like, come on, Tony.
What's the real name? Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, Polomichka. Something like that.
Right.
But I just thought I had already embarrassed myself enough. So I was just going to be like, bye, Tony. See you later.
That's so weird, too, because that guy said he's my neighbor. He lives over there.
Yeah.
And he's lived here since 2003.
Yeah.
And that's just crazy. I've never seen him, never like talked to him before. Really? Nope. Not to my recollection, at least, of knowing people.
Right.
I'm not being a good neighbor. I'm not really going out above and beyond.
Oh, I don't talk to any of my neighbors.
I'm feuding with the guy next door.
Well, we got to talk about that.
It's not like a out and out feud, but it's a situation where he will not say hello to me. It's always me making the effort. And I just go, I'm not making the effort anymore. And he loves Julia, my fiance.
Oh, like in a...
Well, I don't know that
type of way.
I think so.
How old is this guy?
He's in his 60s.
Okay, we're good.
late 50s, early 60s.
Okay.
But I think he likes Julia. And like, he'll talk to Julia, but he just will not talk to me. He offers
so
no.
Mad at you.
Whenever I make, hey, Dave, he just kind of goes, hi. And then just like walks away quickly. And
you're, so you know good. What it is? Because you're messing with his fantasy.
Maybe.
Where he lives next to this cute, young, single woman.
Yeah.
Who's like super nice and likes plants. And
yeah,
I'm sure she indulges him in some conversation. He's probably super lonely. And he was just having such a great time. And then you moved in.
I moved in and ruined it.
Ruined the fantasy for him.
So now I just go out of my way to not speak to him.
Yeah.
I totally ignore. I don't even look in his direction. So far, he hasn't made a move, but this is going to be a war of attrition. He's going to have to make the next move. I'm not mad at him or anything.
No.
I don't dislike him.
Is he right next door?
Right next door, right over here.
Oh, the guy, that's who you share like half your walkway with.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
Dave is a single man.
No, he's got a wife. Yeah.
Okay, Dave.
You know, I hope he can't hear it. He might be able to hear this. But I'm not angry at him or anything like that. I'm just not making an effort.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like he makes no effort for me.
He doesn't.
Zero.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to have any sort of relationship, he's got to make the next move. He's going to have to court me a little bit.
Can I tell you about my neighbor troubles?
Yeah.
So, you let me know if I overreacted. The answer is probably yes. So,
what do you got?
Yeah. So, you know, dog gate, pit bull gate.
Yes, of course.
Cat food.
That's a cat food.
The neighbor was out. This was maybe like 3 or 4 weeks ago. And he was sitting on the corner and he waves to everybody, right? And for a time when it was real hot between us, not hot in a good way, like heated, contentious between me and the neighbor, who I guess his name is Mark. My dad found out. Thanks, Dad.
Mm.
We interviewed him.
It was Mossad connections.
Yeah. When it was really contentious between us, like Chris wouldn't wave to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I liked that. I don't know what Chris does in his own time. If he waves to people, I don't care. I don't ask.
Are you a waver? I'm a waver. I mean, I'll wave when I'm going from the car.
I used to wave to Mark all the time until his dog tried to kill me on several occasions. And now I wave like this.
But I mean, in general.
Oh, totally.
If you see somebody absolutely. In your neighborhood, you wave.
I'm a very, very friendly person. I know you are as well. So,
yeah.
A few weeks ago, we're leaving the neighborhood. I see Mark out there with his stupid dog, of course, unleashed.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, you know, the window's down as we're approaching, but I'm like, you know, I say something to the effect of like, you know, F that guy, whatever. And he waves because he didn't hear what I said. And then I said, do not. And Chris gave me one of those.
He hit him with it. Yeah.
And I said loudly with the window was down. I go, what the F are you doing? And, you know, and the guy lives right next to a stop sign. So we're like, stopped. I'm like, what the F are you doing? And then Chris goes, he can hear you. And I said, who effing cares?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I was real mad at him for a while. Cause I was like, this isn't just a guy who was like rude to me or whatever. This guy made me feel unsafe several times in my own neighborhood. I've asked him to put his dog on a leash. He doesn't. I go, why are you so worried about preserving his feelings? You should be worried about preserving my feelings.
Yeah.
Sort of a thing. And I was like, if someone treated you that way and then gave me a wave, I'd be like, why are you being friendly to this guy? He doesn't have a lot going on. He loves the wave. Don't give him what he wants.
Yeah.
Sort of a thing.
Well, maybe it was an olive branch, you know, to try to repair the relationship.
No, Chris is not involved in the olive branch giving. It's me and this guy.
But he knows that you.
I don't think he does. I don't think he knows me. I think he just waves to everyone indiscriminately coming in and out of the neighborhood. Because he's a lonely old man. He doesn't have a lot going on.
He's a waver. He's like.
I used to wave like crazy. A great day until his dog tried to maul me to death,
right?
And now I hate him and I would like him to die.
Ooh,
yeah,
tough talk.
Yeah I mean it would be, if that would be great, or the dog, either one, preferably him, because he sucks. And I got real mad at Chris. Now, you know, we worked it out. Obviously, it's not like that big of a deal. But like, you kind of see where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
A little bit. Like, this guy is not nice to your girlfriend. And not just like he was rude to me. Like, his dog was like growling at me. And he didn't do anything about it. And you're waving to this guy.
Yeah.
Do I have a point or you am do. I overreacting?
No, you do have a point. Okay. You know, it's kind of one of those things where you kind of got to get your homies back in a relationship like that. Like, if they hate somebody, you have to hate them too.
Yeah, you got to have their back.
Generally, yeah. Yeah, so,
I felt like it was an act of betrayal.
It is like I could kind of see his point just because it's almost like a visceral reaction when somebody hits you with a wave. I mean, my arm just goes up and flails, you know, I can't help it. But, and it's also just like, a wave is like not even a greeting. It's like, we agreed to not shoot each other. Yeah. We're going to keep the peace.
Yeah.
We don't speak to each other, but we're peaceful, mm-hmm. you know, in the neighborhood. But yeah, I do get your point. I don't necessarily think that you're overreacting. It's a tough call, though.
Yeah.
It is a tough call.
And I think Chris's intention is what he told me. It was like, listen, I was just trying to, like, be funny, kind of, like, make you mad for, like, a second. But I got, like, real mad.
Oh, well, that's different. If he did it to irritate you, then, yeah, that's a whole other.
I just got real. I mean, he just thought I was going to be like, no, like, put your hand down. But I just got real mad and made some choice words.
Mm.
I was like, how quickly people forget. I said something like that to him. What I've done for you.
Yeah.
You know, sort of thing. But yeah. Whatever. All's well. It is kind of nice not seeing him out because it's just too hot. His dog will die. So I don't usually see him for like 3 months during the summertime.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
It was a hot one today, boy. Oh my God. It hit 100 degrees for the first time in Tampa today. Ever.
Like in this area or like in Tampa?
In Tampa.
Oh, okay.
First time it's been 100 degrees.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nasty hot today.
It was so hot.
The pool was fantastic. Pool is lovely.
I thought I got really burned, but I think I just got tanned. My face was, I don't know, I kind of look red on the camera. Maybe I am a little red, but yeah, it was good today. Let's pour one out real quick. Let's get off the neighbors to a local legend.
Yep.
Who's no longer with us. Mr. Terry Bollea, Hulk Hogan dead at 71. Probably, you didn't really grow up in this area, but you are Tampa's adopted child.
Yeah.
And I would say Terry Bollea was always has been here. Like, since I was a little kid, he's been here. I don't think he was born in Florida.
He was born in Georgia, I saw. But he moved here as, like, a kid, like 5, 6 years old or something.
Yeah, he was Mr. Tampa Bay.
Really? Truly.
Yeah. I remember I saw him at the, I was with my cousin Logan. And Logan's a few years older than me. And I saw him at the movies. Like, he just brought his family out to the Largo Mall movies. And I was like, hey, Hulkster. And he just hit me with the, hey, brother. And I was like, that's sick. Dude, that's awesome. So it was very exciting. I think that's the only time I actually ever met him. Well, I don't even think you could call that meeting him. But yeah, had an interaction with him.
Yeah.
But he was been, I mean, I know he was hanging out at his restaurant and bar all the time, the Hogan's Hangout. Mm-hmm. And certainly a big influence on my, you know, early life.
Mm.
You know, the Hulkster, much like many people my age, Gen X and millennials, you know, grew up kind of with Hogan watching wrestling.
Yeah.
And, you know, he kind of became almost like a meme later in life.
Okay.
But I mean, like, I was just a true blue Hulk Hogan fan.
Sure.
For like many years when I was a child, a little baby boy.
Right. Not just because you were a fan of wrestling, but also he was local in the area. And
he was, well, I didn't actually know that he lived here until later. I didn't really remember. There was a show called Thunder in Paradise that was on WTOG 44, which was a local Tampa station.
Okay.
And it was kind of like a, I mean, it seems like it was high budget for that network, but he played kind of like this guy who lived on Clearwater Beach that had a cool boat, like a military boat. And then he would go on these, he would always have some crime to be fought.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought it was a nationwide show, and maybe it was, but it aired on the local station here. So I don't know, maybe it was local, but he was just like a big you know, larger than life figure, kind of the first person where I was like, this guy rules as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, but did you have, you didn't have any connection with him as a kid?
I had a connection, not as a child, much later in life.
I'm going to pour one out for the Hulkster here.
Oh, damn.
Let's get it.
Amen, brother. It is crazy though, because like I did not watch any wrestling growing up. I was aware of like there was this like theatrical wrestling league as a kid, and the fact that I knew who Hulk Hogan was means that he transcended whatever wrestling was into just general pop culture.
Yeah.
The fact that like I knew who he was, because I didn't watch wrestling.
Did you see any of his movies growing up? Mr. Nanny.
Mr. Nanny, I saw.
Yeah.
I didn't watch
a few other ones.
I didn't watch Rocky, but you know, my dad did.
Yeah.
So I mean, people knew who he was, and my dad was like also just like a fan of like physical phenoms. I think like a lot of men, where he's like Andre the Giant was just such a giant human being, or you know, like big bodybuilders like Arnold, or there was a guy named like Tom Plutz and stuff like that who just had giant legs. So my dad was like not that like Hogan was a bodybuilder, but you understand, just like a phenom of a human being, like. Wow, people can be that big and look like that. He looks like Hulk Hogan in his prime. He looked like a superhero. Like he looked not of this world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely part of that. A lot of those 90s, late 80s wrestlers, that's when the steroid era was kind of in.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I know that the WWE and Vince McMahon had to deal with that later in like the mid 90s. But
I mean, they're still all on steroids.
I don't think so. Some maybe. But it's
like John Cena was on steroids. Like all maybe, those guys are on all those guys are on steroids.
Maybe, yeah. You're probably
the
right.
Rock, but steroids.
But it was like very upfront, like not talked about, but not frowned upon.
In the 80s, you mean?
And like I think people didn't really know what steroids were too.
You know? Oh, or earlier, you mean in the 80s?
Yeah, they just have these, you know, physiques that are just like, so unnatural.
Sure.
And there's just no way that can exist without some sort of, you know, help in that department. But I think he admitted that because he testified against Vince McMahon.
Oh,
he admitted that he was using steroids.
Of course.
Yeah.
Like any idiot with eyes could see that. Maybe not. Like a lot of people just don't know like what steroids are capable of making your body look like. But if I may share a few words about Hogan, sure. Who I felt very close to tangentially for many years.
Did you meet him ever personally?
I was hanging around Clearwater Beach one day and I saw him get out of a car with his wife.
Okay.
But no, I never met him.
With Linda Hogan.
No.
His young wife.
Like I saw him within the last 8 months.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. Like okay. We were driving around town and maybe the boyfriend was like, I think that's Hogan in that car. He just had a hunch about where it was coming from and where it was going to at the right time. It was like, maybe it was even a Monday, because Monday was like when they do karaoke and he'd show up.
Oh yeah.
And so we followed the car and sure enough, it parked and Hogan popped out and I'm like, oh, that's the guy that I've been hearing so much about. So for me, obviously not involved in wrestling at all or Tampa Bay as a kid, but worked for a man who had a very special bond with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And I heard about this bond every day for 4 years. Every day. Mm-hmm. It was just didn't matter what was going on in the news, whether it was the exit of Afghanistan or the president or whatever was going on. He always just seemed to just circle back to Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
And his grievances there. So I just felt like oddly close to Hogan. In a weird way, like learning so much about his like intimate private life as it related to Bubba the Love Sponge.
Uh-huh.
And like what, you know, it kind of like you hear what everybody says about him on the street. Like, oh, he's such a cool guy. He had a lot of fans. He's this and that. And then hearing like more of what his personal antics, what he was up to, you know, not just in the bedroom, but just as like a human being and just the sort of things that I guess you feel like you can get away with at a certain level of society. Namely his, I'm just going to say it, his son sucks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, he's just like not a good, I would say that's probably his biggest failure is his family. His son, especially. I know that he was in that car accident when he was like 17 and he like vegetabilized his friend. And then after that, you'd think like maybe that would be a wake up call. It wasn't. And he was recently pulled over. I think like within the last 2 years, he got like a DUI or something, right?
Yeah.
And Hogan shows up and it's just a mess. So, you know, not a lot of respect there, but I have a lot of respect for like what Hogan represented. He's actually listening to Lionel. Do you know who Lionel
is? I know who he is.
And he was just talking about like how special of like an entity Hogan and like that wrestling world was in the late 80s and early 90s, kind of like how awesome it was back then to be a part of it, even though he's probably like an early boomer, maybe. Mm. But like you said, like the Xers and maybe geriatric millennials just have such a fondness for him and what he was and represented for their childhood.
Yeah, a controversial figure. I know he got in trouble. Obviously, there was the sex tape incident, which involved a lot of people from this area as well. But I always remember him, and I think he's an American hero for shutting down Gawker, that media outlet Gawker that published the... A number one for me. That was a garbage website, gossip, you know, just garbage.
Do you not feel like that it was just media, or you thought it was like an infringement on privacy?
No, it's just that Gawker had a certain spin of like, it was almost like attack media, kind of the first, and there's a lot of those now, but going on the offense with media. Mm. They published
Peter Thiel. I know that.
Yes, they outed Peter Thiel. Yeah. They said he was a gay man, which he wasn't ready to come out of the closet. And actually, Peter Thiel bankrolled a lot of the lawsuit.
I did know that.
For Hogan. And I think Hogan got like $25 million out of that or something.
No, he got way more than that.
But I think at the end, he got awarded. Oh, because Gawker. It was just, that's what they had. Once they liquidated. So yeah. I think he got like $25 million or something. Mm-hmm. And put him out of business. For the most part. Is Gawker still online?
I thought it was like resurfacing and like called something else.
Gawker.com. It's a website on the internet. It is Gawker.com. Does show
that's WWE outrageous. Legend,
Gawker Slayer, Hulk Hogan dead at 71. That's the only thing on the website. That's interesting.
Wow, that's interesting. Tributes pour in. Wait, can I read that?
Yeah.
Tributes pour in as the man, the myth, the mustache heads to the great ring in the sky.
Yeah. Should I click it?
That is crazy.
Ask a Gawker, read more. Oh, it just goes to a BBC News piece about Hogan.
Gawker Slayer.
The Gawker Slayer, Hogan. Yeah, so I guess they're not really around. How about that? Interesting. But yeah, I think he's an American hero just for that alone. Yeah, obviously, you know, the controversies were, I don't even know, like, do we even need to get into his controversies per se?
I mean, I don't care.
The sex tape, yes.
The,
he said heinous words about the possibility of his daughter dating a black man.
I think that was also released, I'm not going to say by the guy I used to work for, but I think it was his tapes that were released, right? That, it was part of that barrage of,
I don't know how they
tapes. I'm not sure. Somebody, I don't know if that's 100%, but I think that was part of it. Like the sex tape was one of them, and then it was also like, I don't want Brooke dating a.
I mean, not great, but it was a private moment, and I mean, like I don't know. I don't like the whole thing where you say a word, so that means that you have hate in your heart for.
No, I'm not saying that.
I know you're not, but that's what a lot of people. Yeah. If you think it, then you are.
Yeah,
you know, the worst police. Type of it's.
Right.
I just don't buy that, and a lot of like Booker T and Mark Henry, black wrestlers, kind of been like, no, he's cool. He's not. he's not. But I saw. Oh my God, what's his name? Godfrey, the comedian.
Yeah, oh the guy that does he the guy that does the show with Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Dude, no.
Oh, that's someone else. Sorry.
I remember Godfrey from the Sprite commercials or 7-Up commercials or something, but oh my God, he is just insufferable. That guy. Just not even woke, just like militant.
Like black activist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just never wrong.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. So Hogan definitely had his issues. Of course, at the end of his life, was an avid supporter of Donald Trump, showed up at the convention.
Yes.
Was booed at his last appearance on the WWE, probably having to do with his support for the current president.
Mm-hmm.
It's been speculated that he might stretch the truth sometimes with some of his stories.
Of course.
Abuse of power. I don't know. This steroid usage.
I mean, that's fine.
There's others. Preventing Jesse Ventura from starting a union. Okay. I mean, whatever.
What podcast is that? Go down.
This is Jesse Ventura speaking with.
Oh, that's Jesse Ventura. In depth
with Graham Bessinger.
Gotcha. Yeah. I thought that was Hulk for a second.
Yeah. No, old ass Jesse Ventura and a shiny head. So anyway, I've rest in peace to the GOAT, Terry Bollea.
Would you say, as someone who has been a fan of wrestling, not really into your adult years, but like you've paid attention to it, especially because Tampa, I learned that like for many years, like Tampa didn't have a football team and not recently, but somewhat recently only had a baseball team. They didn't really have like sports teams here in Tampa, but you had wrestling.
Yes.
That was kind of like Tampa's thing.
My grandmother, Bubby, owned a laundromat. And all the wrestlers would come in and she would clean their Gorgeous George and
really?
Some of the other ones. Yeah.
Yeah. It was Tampa was the town for wrestlers. I'm not sure why. I think they have a lot of like training facilities here for them.
They do. Yeah.
And maybe that's why they flock here. It's also just like a very pleasant place to live. So maybe that's it. They come here. They like it. They stay.
Yeah.
But would you say that he is the most famous WWE F whatever wrestler of all time, most recognizable?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what the boyfriend said as well.
Definitely.
I said more than like Andre the Giant. He's like, yes. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, now there's some contemporaries with like Stone Cold, The Rock, John Cena, and I'm sure there's new guys too, or just I don't know any of the new people.
Yeah, but just overall, just
I think he's yeah. He
one.
Is he's on Mount Rushmore, he's the first face. I think.
Really? Okay.
For sure.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, he definitely, you know, his gimmick was kind of involving bringing kids, talking to kids in like wrestling promos, like take your vitamins, say your prayers. Like he would address kids. And I think that's why kids liked him, you know, because they were big consumers of the product.
Sure.
Children. So and he was kind of the first guy I think that actually spoke to them, to that audience. And it kind of had a special place in
their hearts. Yeah, that is funny because like I was watching even just right before we started recording, like there's this person who I guess he went to like a boxing match and like one of the women working there who is probably like in her 40s, you know, just like as a, working there as like a ref or whatever. And she'd like someone who I wouldn't think would be a fan of wrestling was like, I just want to say I watched you as a kid.
Mm.
Like you, a big fan. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, I guess he did really, if you paid attention, he really did like speak to the children and
for sure.
And apparently he was like really good with the crowd. Like,
yeah,
Chris was telling me, the boyfriend was telling me that like, he was not even in the top 100 wrestlers as far as like athleticism goes. Mm. Like he was just like big, but he had a really good like character.
Yep.
And he had a really good way of interacting with the audience.
For sure. Okay. 100%. Very charismatic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So cheers to the Hawkster. We're going to cut this one short because it's Sunday. And I can't wait to see when we're back live if there's anything different about you.
There's not going to be.
There might be.
There's not going
to be. Small possibility.
Small possibility.
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see.
I can't wait to talk about it next time we're live. Wednesday, 6 p.m. We'll be back. Obviously, this will go up on Substack. You're seeing this next week, so we did this a week early. Hopefully, Hogan's not old news by then. But anyway, rest in peace to the GOAT. We love you guys. Talk soon. Do this real quick.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Brother.
Have a good one, brothers and sisters. See you later.
Hey.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.